The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Now, did you say these lasers are 3 kilometers?
About that.
Yeah. That's like 10,000 feet almost.
Yeah,
that's almost two miles.
That's how long the path of the laser travels, yeah, in each direction.
Oh, the laser itself is
No, the laser itself is a box the size of this table, so it's pretty powerful.
But I was wondering why I couldn't find it on Google Earth on Livingston, Louisiana. Where's this 2 mile laser? I got to see this.
No. It's a tunnel with a laser on each side, and in the L-shaped connection, the two laser signals meet, and they have to. Normally, without the absence of interference, they have to produce a pattern that looks like a bell curve, and you know, it's a stable pattern. It's a light spot on a table, so to speak.
I'm going to try to be smart here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you say the laser's in a tunnel, L-shaped.
Well, there's two tunnels. They're the shape of an L, and they connect in the middle where the two dashes of the L connect, and that's where the signal gets combined from the two lasers.
I see. Okay, so the superconducting super collider, which I remember in Texas, which was that are you familiar with
the tunnel?
Same construction or principle?
Well, that was a circular tunnel, many miles in radius. And that was actually not finished, as you may recall, but
Europeans built
one in Geneva underneath France and Switzerland, and that's called the Large Hadron Collider, similar concept. And that worked, and that works with magnets, where the electron and proton beams get in a circular path, accelerated to very high speeds, a fraction speed of light, and then they collide and they do their measurements of atomic, subatomic particles. The linear tunnels of LIGO, with each arm of the L-shaped tunnel about 3 kilometers long, is being used to shine the laser in a vacuum, constant temperature chamber as quietly, as still as possible towards its target, which is a mirror that combines the two laser signals. And since there's a timing, a timestamp on the signal, you can measure the light travel time from the laser to the measurement device, and it has to be the same for both arms by design, unless a wave, not a water wave in the pond, but a gravitational wave intersects one arm before it intersects the other and produces a ripple, and then a fraction of a second later does the same in the other station, 1,800 miles apart.
I mean, if house cleaning leaves a little Windex on one of the laser lenses, it could just throw the whole thing off.
Yeah, that's not good. The janitor is well trained. He wouldn't do that.
If you've just joined us, you know, somebody joined us in the break and they're waking up to Rosie on now, says, where has Rosie taken the show today? We are on the very bridge between mind and matter. And you've heard me talk about mind and matter, like when it comes to home improvement projects, like removing Sautéa tile, which is beyond horrible. It's the worst thing you could ever want to tackle. But if you don't mind, it don't matter. But we're talking it on a little bit deeper level today with Dr. Roger Windhorst. Now, look, let me just scan his resume. Listen to me really close, okay? We've got a Bachelor of Astronomy from the University of Leiden, followed by a master's, followed by a PhD. That's all by 1984. He's been to the California Institute of Technology, Carnegie Observatory, and he's currently at ASU. And you've been at ASU for a while.
Yeah, almost 32 years.
That's
been
incredible.
A while. Yeah.
And like, I called you a cyborg.
About a billion seconds.
I called you. Yeah, I knew he'd do that to me. I called you the Sun Devil cyborg. But what do they call you on campus? What's your title?
The astro nerd.
You're at the School of Earth and Space Exploration at Arizona State University.
I'm a professor there, a Regents professor. Yeah. So I teach astrophysics, and I do Hubble for a living. And now we're building a sequel to Hubble. But gravity is a hobby of mine, and I teach it in the class, including relativity when we get to the upper division.
Well, I told y'all you would need your thinking hats this morning, and you're going to need to fill up that second cup of coffee, because when we get back, we're going to be start talking about colliding colliding black holes, which are giant gravitational suction forces located periodically throughout the universe. And when two of these giant vacuums collide, what happens? And where do, once you're sucked into one, what's on the other side? Where do you go? What's over there?
I'm going to Abita Springs. Y'all can stay in Livingston.
Well, maybe you get a wormhole and come out in Washington State.